following is a production of the Media Ministry at New Salem Baptist Church in Soddy Daisy, Tennessee, featuring the teaching of Pastor Alan Rogers. In the Metro Chattanooga area, we invite you to be our guest at any of our weekly worship services or visit us online at newsalembaptist.net. Now here's Pastor Alan.
On February 24th of this year, after weeks of buildup, thousands of Russian troops poured across the borders of Ukraine at several points. A lot of observers believe that the much larger and much better equipped Russian army would just seize control of Ukraine in a matter of days. It was not considered to be a fair fight. Only, as we know now, that didn't happen. This massive Russian offensive got bogged down and in some cases even pushed back. And the scrappy Ukrainian defenders defied the odds and have managed to tie the Russians down for 3 months now. Now, experts will say there's a lot of reasons behind Russia's failures in this war. But one key factor began to come to light very early on in the first few weeks of March. Apparently, the expensive encrypted radios that the Russians had equipped their soldiers with proved to be a little bit unreliable. I guess that's what happens when you go with the lowest bidder. Russian commanders couldn't communicate with all their units, and the units couldn't get instructions from headquarters. They were forced to rely on much less secure means of communication, walkie-talkies, and even cell phones in some cases, which of course made it a whole lot easier for the Ukrainians to listen in and figure out what the Russians were up to. For soldiers on the battlefield, good communications are essential. Now, as we learned last week, those of us who are followers of Jesus find ourselves engaged in a spiritual battle. A lot of this struggle takes place in our own hearts and minds, as spiritual forces who are opposed to God seek to distract, discourage, defeat, and divide us, and to draw us away from God's light. Occasionally, we do encounter some of these ungodly spirits openly in the material world, as they are manifested in cultures, movements, and institutions that we have to interact with. But primarily, the battle goes on within us. And our objective in this great spiritual struggle, as we talked about last time, is to link arms with other believers as we stand firm on the spiritual ground that Christ has already won, while we invite other people to come out of the darkness and join Christ's side. Since this is a spiritual conflict, it has to be fought with spiritual resources. And in Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 17, the Apostle Paul outlines some of those resources that God makes available to us. And if you missed that message, or if you need to go back and get a refresher, it's on our website. I encourage you to go check it out. The audio is on the website. The video version is on our YouTube channel. So I encourage you to go back and review that. In verses 18 through 20, which is the passage we're going to look at today, Paul describes one more resource that is invaluable for enabling us to meet our objectives and stand firm. In Ephesians 6, verses 18 through 20, we learn that prayer is an indispensable resource for standing firm in spiritual conflict. Paul says in verse 18, "With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints." Now, in verse 18, that you'll notice a couple of verb phrases there. Pray at all times and be on the alert. Those are actually, in the Greek, those are participles. That means they can't really stand on their own, but they're dependent upon a main verb elsewhere in the discussion. And the most likely candidate is the verb stand firm, which we looked at last week, which features so prominently in verses 10 through 17. We're over and over again. Paul says, stand firm, stand firm, stand firm. So praying at all times and being alert, being on the alert, are part of standing firm. This also ties Paul's instructions in with the full armor of God that he talks about in verses 10 through 17. Now, it's not that we put on prayer like we do all the other pieces of spiritual armor, but it is possible that prayer plays an important part in putting on the rest of that armor, taking up the full armor of God. In fact, prayerfully putting on your spiritual armor each morning as you prepare to face the day might not be a very bad habit to get into. Think about it. Each day, start the day saying, Lord, surround me with integrity. Surround me with righteousness. Help me to not indulge any weaknesses that would give the enemy an opportunity. Help me to stand securely in the truth of the gospel. Help me to hold high my shield of faith and to keep my focus on the promise of salvation you've made to me. And help me to meet any attack from the enemy and be able to parry that with your word. I think every day that would be a good way to start out the day, don't you? Like a soldier on the battlefield relies on his radio, we rely on prayer to keep us connected with our heavenly commander and in touch with the resources he provides to sustain our efforts. We talked about the armor in the previous paragraph. We talked about the importance of abiding in Christ, drawing our strength from Christ. I mentioned to you a couple of passages from other places in the New Testament, namely 1 John 2, verse 14, where Paul says, I've written to you young men because you are strong and the word of God abides in you and you have overcome the evil one. So there, overcoming the evil one is linked with having the word of God abide in us. And then I mentioned also in John 15, verses 1 through 5, where Jesus goes to that whole description of he's the vine, we are the branches, we abide in him, we draw our strength from him. And he says, I am the vine, you are the branches, he who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Well, guess what? Prayer is one of the ways that we abide in Christ. By communicating with him and drawing our strength from him through this connection of prayer. And yet, let's be honest, prayer is a resource that far too many of us neglect. Just like we let our swords get dull and rusty, a lot of times we neglect our communications with headquarters. And we pay the price, don't we? But let's be honest, prayer's hard. It's hard. It's something that a lot of times doesn't feel natural. Prayer is intangible, okay? Because you're dealing with something unseen. And, you know, we like things that we can touch and hold. We like to do stuff, right? How often are we tempted to skip the praying and jump right into the doing? But you know what? You'll be more effective in the doing if you spend some time praying first. Prayer's not conducive to instant gratification. We want to see the results right then. And prayer doesn't always work that way. And prayer is subject to all kinds of disruption and distraction. You ever noticed how when you set aside time to pray and you try to get yourself in the zone to pray, that's when your phone's going to ring or your text messages are going to start dinging or the dog's going to want to go out or the kids are going to need something. And it seems like all of a sudden, or in your mind starts popping all these things you've got to take care of. It's like you clear your mind to pray and it's like all of a sudden you remember a dozen things that need your attention. You ever notice that? That's not by accident. But prayer is also necessary if we're going to experience victory in spiritual conflict. We've got to learn to push through that noise and pray. And as we seek to stand firm in spiritual conflict, Paul doesn't necessarily tell us how to pray, but he gives us some attitudes to strive for in our prayers that I think are very, very helpful here. And I tried to list all these out with a C to make them easy to remember. Paul tells us, first of all, to pray comprehensively. He says, with all prayer and petition. Now, Paul uses both a general word for prayer and a more specific word, petitions. His point is that we should be prepared to pray all kinds of prayers as we engage in spiritual battle. Prayers of request, prayers of thanksgiving, prayers of praise, prayers on behalf of other people, just down the list, all different kinds of prayers. And notice how frequently the word all shows up in this paragraph. All prayers and petitions, at all times, with all perseverance, for all the saints. This shows us just how comprehensive our prayer life should be. As Tony Merida has written, the focus on all emphasizes the fact that because all of life is war, all of life must be lived in prayer. There is nothing in our lives that is not important enough to lift up in prayer. Amen. Nothing at all. So pray comprehensively about everything in your life. Also pray continually. Paul says, pray at all times. Now, most definitely, we should set aside specific times for prayer, because if you don't, let's face it, most likely you'll never pray. However, in addition to those specific set-aside times for prayer, we can also cultivate an attitude of prayer that's ongoing, where we are aware of God's continual presence in our lives. There's a famous book came out in the 1600s called Practicing the Presence of God. It's basically a collection of teachings from a friar named Brother Lawrence. And here's the story. Lawrence experienced a dramatic conversion to faith in Christ at age 18. And as he sought to pursue Christ in a deeper way, in his early 20s, he joined a religious community, a monastery, if you will. And when he first entered the monastery, like most 20-year-olds, he was full of fire and he was ready to do big things for God. So he shows up, and here I am. Put me to work. I'm ready to do big things for God. And they said, Brother Lawrence, we got just a job for you. You see that stack of dishes over there in the sink? There you go. Here he wants to do big things for God, and he's stuck in the kitchen washing dishes all day. God, I wanted to do big things for you. What's with the dishes? But here's the thing. As he washed those dishes, he learned a very important lesson. He discovered this mundane job created an opportunity for great spiritual growth. Because while he's washing those dishes, guess how he passed the time? He carried on a running conversation with God the entire time. And he developed an awareness that God was always with him, which allowed him to pray to God continually. He talked with God about everything. And guess what? With practice, we can develop that same kind of awareness of God's presence in our own lives. And this awareness allows us to pray about anything at any time. Just shoot up a quick prayer. Hey, God, let me tell you about this thing that's on my heart right now. Or you run into somebody that's got a need. And this is, you know, how many times has somebody ever walked up to you and said, Brother, pray for me. Or sister, pray for me. Okay, yeah, sure. How many even followed through? Wouldn't it be really cool if you go up to somebody and you said, hey, I got this thing going on. Would you pray for me? What if they stopped right there and said, okay, let's pray. Talk about making an impression. Something we used to do with our kids, we kind of got out of the habit, but we used to, if we were driving down the road and we saw an accident, we'd say, okay, one of you kids, lead us in prayer real quick for the people in that accident. Again, I'm ashamed to admit, we kind of got out of that practice as I got older, but that helped teach our kids, you can pray about anything at any time. Just developing that awareness. God is always with us. We're always connected with Him. And so we can always come to Him in prayer. And an important part of that is praying in connection with God's Spirit. He says, pray at all times in the Spirit. Prayer is a spiritual activity. We can only succeed in prayer if we are relying on God's Spirit to help us. It's the presence of God's Spirit in our lives as believers that reminds us that God is not far away somewhere else, but He is nearby. He is connected to us through that presence. And that's, Jesus taught about how important it was to draw strength from the Spirit's presence in our lives. Going back to, again, that passage in John chapter 14 and chapter 15 in John's Gospel, Jesus talked so much about, as He tried to prepare His disciples for life without His physical presence. You know, He was like, guys, I'm getting ready to go away from you, but God's going to give you another helper. He's going to give you the Holy Spirit. And basically, that's God's presence manifested in us. That's God connecting us to Himself, taking up a little residence within our souls as believers so that we are connected to Jesus. We may not have Jesus' physical presence with us anymore, but we are connected to God through the presence of His Spirit. And in John chapters 14 and 15, Jesus goes through all the things that makes possible in our lives. Through the Spirit, we're connected to our Heavenly Father. Through the Spirit teaches us in God's truth. The Spirit reminds us of the things that God has taught us or that Christ has taught us. The Spirit helps us to obey God's truth. The Spirit convicts us of our sin and leads us to repentance. The Spirit, most importantly, testifies to our spirits about Christ and the power of what He has done for us through His death, burial, and resurrection. It's the Spirit that helps us to understand and comprehend the gospel. that takes the veil off our eyes and helps us to see Jesus for who he really is. And the Spirit is so intimately involved in our prayers that the Apostle Paul says that when our needs are so great that we can't put them into words, guess what? The Holy Spirit takes over. And the Spirit himself prays on our behalf. In Romans 8:26, Paul writes, "In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words." You ever had something going on in your life and you just didn't know how to pray about it? "God, I just help." You ever had those prayers? Guess what? The Holy Spirit prays for you. How cool is that? So the Spirit himself helps our prayers. We also, Paul tells us, we need to pray carefully. Paul says, be on the alert. Be on the alert. Soldiers on the battlefield understand the importance of something called situational awareness, of knowing what's going on around you, mainly so the enemy can't sneak up behind you, so that you avoid any unseen dangers. You're able to respond quickly because you know what is happening around you. Well, the same thing is important on the spiritual battlefield. Paul stresses the importance of keeping our prayer channel open. In the book of Colossians and Ephesians, a lot of people think were written at about the same time. Paul used a lot of the same material. He just adapted it for two different audiences. And so it's really helpful when you're studying Ephesians to consult with Colossians, because it gives you a little illumination on Ephesians and vice versa. And in Colossians 4:2, Paul writes, "Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving." So we need to keep alert in prayer. Jesus himself stressed to his disciples the importance of being alert and being prepared at all times. He warned us about being alert against temptation in Mark 14:38. He says, "Keep watching and praying so that you may not come into temptation. The Spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak." So keeping that attitude of prayer is our first line of defense against temptation. Jesus also called on us to be alert about the anticipation of his return. In Mark 13, verses 32 to 38, he says, "But of that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone." So only God the Father knows when this story is going to wrap up, when Jesus is going to return, and when the world is going to be judged. There's a date coming when God the Father finally says, "It's time." Jesus will return to this world to gather his church and judge all of creation. Jesus says, "Take heed, keep on the alert, for you do not know when the appointed time will come." We don't know. And then he talks about this story about a man went on a journey and he left his house in charge of his slaves. Some of the slaves got lazy and said, well, we got plenty of time, and just kind of goofed off, while some of the slaves were diligent and prepared. And guess what? One day unexpectedly, the master shows up. What do you think happened to the goof-offs? But the people who were prepared were ready. One day Jesus is coming back, folks, as Adam mentioned a while ago. When he returns, what kind of church is he going to find? Is he going to find us doing what he called us to do? Or is he going to find us wasting our time and twiddling our thumbs? So involved in so many things that don't really matter in the scheme of eternity, while the rest of the world's going to hell. We need to be ready. We need to be alert. And one of the ways we stay alert is being alert in prayer. The early church made a priority of prayer. They believed this. We read so many times in the book of Acts what happened when the church was at prayer. For example, in Acts 2, verses 42 and 43, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And everyone kept feeling a sense of awe. And many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. A couple chapters later, in Acts chapter 4, verses 23 through 31, we read about this big prayer meeting the church had. And at the end of that prayer meeting, it says, "When they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness." Could it be that one of the reasons we don't see the display of God's power like the early church saw it is because we don't pray like the early church prayed? They made prayer a priority. As James Montgomery Boyce once wrote, "We will not show faith in God in trials unless we are standing close to God in prayer." So we need to pray alertly, make it a priority, and we need to pray courageously. Paul says at the end of verse 18, pray with all perseverance. In other words, keep praying until God tells you to stop. Jesus repeatedly stressed the necessity for perseverance and persistence in prayer. For example, one of the most famous stories in this regard was the parable of the persistent widow in Luke 18, verses 1 through 8. And if you don't know the story, there was a widow who had a court case, and the judge in her town was a scoundrel. He was absolutely corrupt, more concerned about taking care of all of his rich buddies and dealing with the concerns of some little poor widow lady. But what this widow did is she kept showing up everywhere the judge showed up. He'd be out to lunch, and she'd be out there outside the restaurant window. "Your Honor, had time to look at my case yet?" He's out on the golf course. She shows up. "Hey, Your Honor, let's talk about my case." Everywhere he went, she showed up, bugging him about this case. And so finally, this old corrupt judge, just to shut her up, said, "Okay, ma'am, I will help you out. I'll take a look at your case." Now, Jesus made sure the point was not that God is like a corrupt judge, that he just gives us what we want to shut us up and get rid of us. But the point was this: if even a corrupt human judge will eventually do the right thing because of persistence, how much more a loving, gracious, heavenly Father who's already on your side? So keep praying. Keep pounding on heaven's doors until God makes it clear it's time to stop. Keep persistent in prayer. Could it be that sometimes we do not see the answer to our prayers because we stop praying too soon? Could it be that one reason we give up too soon is because we aren't getting the answer we think we want? One of the hardest things to pray about is in times of suffering and tragedy, particularly when somebody is facing a terminal illness. And people ask me to pray, you know, for people like that all the time. And it's really hard because we agree that God has the power to do incredible things. We also know that it's appointed unto man once to die, and sometimes God has other intentions, other plans. I think the experience of King David in praying for a dying child is instructive here. In 2 Samuel 12, verses 16 through 24, David is praying for this baby. It's the child that was born as a result of his affair with Bathsheba. And then afterwards they got married. The baby was born. The baby got sick. And David fasted and prayed and wept and cried for days for this child to be healed. But then the child died, and David amazed his court by getting up, cleaning himself up, and getting on with business. And they said, what's going on here? For days while this child was lingering, you were grieving and making all this commotion. Now you just kind of leave that behind. And David said, "While the child was alive, I fasted and wept. For I said, who knows? The Lord may be gracious to me and the child may live. But now he has died. Why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I will go to him, but he will not return to me." God had made his will clear in that instance. And so David, while there was still a chance that God might do something incredible, miraculous, David kept praying, kept praying, kept praying. But once God made his answer clear, David still had the faith to accept God's answer and to keep trusting in God. Amen. And we need to pray courageously and persevere, even when the answer we're receiving is not necessarily the answer we want. And then we need to pray collectively. Paul says at the end of verse 18, pray for all the saints. Do you just pray for yourself? Do you just pray for your family? Or do you widen that circle out? If you can't think of something to pray for, just start naming the people in your life and praying for them. There's lots of different ways to do this. Something I've done in the past and probably will do in the future. Sometimes I get up the church directory. And every day I'll just take a column or a page and pray for the people on that list. There's a lot of people on that list that have passed through this place over the years that I've never met. I don't know what's going on in their lives right now, but God does. And I'll pray for them. I know another guy, and this, you know, this works different for different people. Maybe one of these will work for you. This guy has a notebook. He got one of those little small spiral notebooks that has dividers in it. And he each day is a different emphasis for him. One day he prays for his church. One day he prays for his family. One day he prays for other churches. One day he prays for problems going on that he knows about with people. One day he prays for the sick. One day he prays for missionaries. And he keeps a separate list in each of those sections. And each day he just turns that to that section and he prays for those people. Maybe that's the way you pray for the saints. But we need to pray for each other. Remember what I told you last week when I was displaying that shield that the Romans used, the scutum? The shield was designed to cover the soldier's body, but also not only to cover his body, but to overlap to cover the right side of the soldier next to him. And the Romans would lock those shields together to form a wall so they could just mow right over the other line, or they could withstand any attack and protect each other. Folks, in the church, we need to link our shields together. Amen. And one of the ways we do that is we pray for one another. And I hope you do that and pray for people regularly. Look around at the person on your right and your person on your left. Say a little quick prayer for them right now, that God would strengthen them and uphold them and help them to have spiritual victory. Pray for the saints and pray with the saints as we stand our ground together. And we should especially pray for those who are standing on the front lines of gospel proclamation. Very quickly, in verses 19 and 20, Paul says, "And pray on my behalf, that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." How do you pray for other people, especially those who are involved in ministry? First of all, pray for opportunities. Pray that utterance may be given to them, that doors of opportunity may open for them to share the gospel. Pray for clarity. Paul wanted his friends in Ephesus to pray for the opening of his mouth, that when he did have a chance to speak, he would speak the gospel clearly and without confusion so that other people could hear and understand. So pray for clarity. Sometimes that's my prayer when I stand up here before you, like, God, just don't let me say anything stupid. Don't let me get carried away in anything that would distract from the message, take out of my mouth. And shut me up when I've said enough. Pray for boldness. Paul says, pray that I will make this known with boldness and I may speak boldly. One of my favorite stories in the Old Testament is a story about Moses when he's leading the people of Israel and they were going into battle. And as long as Moses held his arms up, the children of Israel would win the battle. But when he got tired and started letting his arms down, they would start to lose. And so he had two helpers that would hold his arms up when he started to get tired. Folks, we all need people who will hold our arms up. And one of the ways we hold each other's arms up is through prayer. I have a group of people that a little kind of secret Facebook group of people I've invited to pray. And so each week I try to remember to publicize some concerns, mainly about our worship service, some other things going on in our church. And I ask them to pray because I believe that is so important, that we everything we do is covered in prayer. Pray for boldness. Pray for faithfulness. Paul says, pray that I will speak as I ought to speak, that when the opportunity comes, I won't whiff it, that I will be faithful as an ambassador in chains. Now think about that concept for a second. A couple of things there, you know, for an ambassador in chains, that was scandalous. Because, you know, ambassadors are supposed to have a measure of diplomatic immunity, right? When you slap with somebody else's ambassador in chains, that's an insult. But Paul says, I'm an ambassador in chains. And what he's really getting at there is, when he looked at his circumstances, he had every excuse in the world just to shut up. But instead, he saw this as an opportunity to have a captive audience. Paul had a Roman soldier chained to him 24 hours a day. Every few hours, they would change that shift. And you know what Paul did? He'd share the gospel. And then we get to Philippians, and Paul talks about, pray for those in Caesar's household who've become believers. You know how people became believers in Caesar's household? Through those soldiers. As Paul shared with them in that time, they were stuck with him. Paul could have given up. He could have said, man, God, why'd you put me in this terrible situation? I'm a prisoner. I've lost my freedom. I could have my head chopped off tomorrow. I don't know what's going on here. He could have just gotten depressed and given up. But instead, he saw his circumstances as an opportunity to give a witness to Jesus. Pray for faithfulness. Prayer should be our first line of defense in this spiritual conflict. So often, it's the first casualty. The first thing we jettison on the battlefield. You ever catch yourself saying, I'd prayed, I'm just too busy to pray. I just can't find the time to pray. You ever guilty of that? Martin Luther The great reformer was famous for his productivity in writing, preaching, and teaching. He was constantly churning out material during the Reformation. Luther was also known for something else, the priority he gave to prayer. He once said, "I have so much business, I can't get on without spending 3 hours a day in prayer." He was so busy, he had to spend 3 hours a day in prayer. How many of us would say, "Man, that is upside down"? Luther said, "No, I got all this stuff to do, I better pray some more." That's the priority he gave to prayer. Prayer is too vital to leave to chance. If we are to be effective on the spiritual battlefield, we must be in constant contact with our headquarters through prayer. Seek to make prayer a priority as you stand firm in your faith. And we as a church need to make prayer a priority.
This program is a production of the Media Ministry at New Salem Baptist Church. Music courtesy of Jason Shaw at audionautix.com. If you enjoy this program, we would love to hear from you. Email us at info@newsalembaptist.net. Thank you for listening.